Well, praise the Lord. We're recording this.
Amen.
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 Shall we pray?
Amen.
Amen. Lord, I do thank you again that we can gather together in your name. I thank you that we can come to understand your word. And Lord, that we might prepare our hearts for the great and terrible day of the Lord. Amen. Give us grace and give us wisdom this day, Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. We got a chair for you right here. There we are. Good. Good. Now, you weren't here this morning. I'm not going to repeat everything we did this morning, but I'm just going to say that we went to the 12th chapter of Revelation. And the summary of the 12th chapter of Revelation is there was a woman, it says, he saw a scene in heaven. Okay? And heaven is a spiritual place. Okay? How many of you know that you have heaven inside of you? You have a spirit, and you have the Holy Spirit, and that is a spiritual place. Okay, this part of heaven, the Holy Spirit part of you, the devil cannot touch. But there's another spiritual part of you that is your soul. It isn't quite as high a place, but it's where your mind and your will and your thinking and your emotions and your desires and things that make you like your personality. This is the part of a heaven. It's a spiritual place, and the devil can get at this place, okay? He still, as long as this is connected in us to the earth, the natural things, if we're connected to natural things, then the devil has access to us, okay? So here we have a woman, and this the woman in the church, woman represents church. Woman represents bride of Christ, okay? I'm a man in my natural, but I'm going to be bride of Christ. Now, I can't figure that out in my own thinking. How can I be a bride? I'm not a woman. Okay? I spent many years learning to be a man. But I'm going to be a bride of Christ. Now, you women have spent some years, I won't say how many, however old you are, you've been learning how to be a woman. But the Bible says that you can also be the sons of God. Okay? Now, what's in this woman is standing on a moon. Okay? And she is clothed with the sun. In other words, her garment is the sun. Wouldn't you love to see something like that? Your clothes are the sun. Wow, how bright would you be?
Yes.
You'd never have to buy a new dress, would you? Wouldn't worry about colors, wouldn't worry about style, just that you're clothed with the sun. Amen. You know, this is a spiritual woman. She's a beautiful woman. Amen.
Amen.
You know, if women could only get a hold of this vision, it would save you a lot of trouble about what shall I dress and how shall I fix my, you know, and makeup and earrings. You wouldn't worry about things like that. I'm just going to be the glory of God. And you know, this is what God sees. Amen. He doesn't see the outer man, the flesh. He's looking at the inner man of the spirit. So this is a spiritual woman. This is a true church, a true bride of Christ, not a false bride. Okay, we know there's a false church. We know all about that, don't we? Amen. But we're not going to be part of that false church. So she's standing on a moon, and a moon is another picture of a church. But a moon is an old order church. So that means that here's a church that's come up higher. She's come out of an old order. She's come into a higher place. So if you remember the picture of the tabernacle, you have the tabernacle, which is the outer court. Mm-hmm. There's an outer court, and that's the lowest order of church. That's the moon church.
That's the moon church.
Yes. Then you have a holy place, and there's a holy place church right today. Now, the message that we are preaching to you, yes, we believe in the outer court. We believe that you have to come through there. You have to be saved. You have to be baptized. But we're not going to spend all our time in the outer court, okay?
Amen.
We want to teach you, yes, get saved, get the blood of Jesus, get forgiven of your sins, get baptized, okay? But let's not just stay there. Let's go on into higher things of the holy place. So this woman that's clothed with the sun is a holy place church, okay? Now, it says in this chapter, it says that there's another church. And there's a church inside of her. Remember yesterday we were talking about bringing forth. She's travailing. This woman is having labor pains. She's saying, oh, oh, this is a church. Oh, oh God, deliver me. See, this church is having distress. Why are we having distress? Because we're grieved at the things that are happening in the world. We are grieved at the things that are happening in the church. We are grieved at how some of the Christians we know are compromising and they're turning back to God, and it grieves us. And the world doesn't like us. They hate us. They say ugly things about us. And if they ever had a chance, they would try to kill us. And yes, there is a false church that for many years has killed the true Christians. You study the history of the church. That what it didn't start off that way, but it became a Roman Catholic church. And there were other churches that came from her, so she has daughter churches as well. Many of them are false. They do not have the order of God. Okay? And this harlot church does not even preach salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't preach it. Their priests are not saved. They are not born again. They are wicked men. I'm telling you. I know the story. I know what's going on. You don't want to hear my stories. But I'm telling you, they are unrighteous, wicked men that are running that organization. Now, that's a false church. We're not going to talk any more about that. Okay? We're going to talk about, there are three churches now. Outer Court Church, Holy Place Church, and there is coming to be a Holy of Holies people church. Okay, we don't have that church yet. Where is that church? That church is still inside of the Holy Place Church.
Traveling. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, oh, you said the Sabano.
Traveling.
Oh, okay. Travailing.
Yeah.
I thought you were speaking Sabano there for a minute.
No.
It's a travailing church. So, within us, see, we are a church. Oh, there's more of us out there. And there's more in many other cities like us. I don't know who they are. I haven't met them. I don't know when I'll ever meet them. I asked Brother DeSeal one time, when are we going to meet these other people that are true believers? He said, oh, Brother Mark, maybe when we go to be sacrificed.
Really?
We'll look around and say, oh, you're another brother, you know? Well, I don't know. You know, I'm going to lay my life down for the Lord. There's nothing else to live for. There's nothing in this world worth compromising and turning away from Jesus. There's nothing worth. Eternity is so much better. I want the heavenly reward.
Amen.
That's
me
what
too.
I want. There's only one thing I want. You know, there's only one person that I'm going to have to give an answer to when I die. You know who that is?
Jesus.
I'm going to meet Jesus.
Amen.
And there's only one thing I want to hear from him. I remember saying this when I was about 30 years old. I remember saying this. I said, Jesus, There's only one thing I want, and I want to hear from you when my life is over. I want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
That's all I want to hear.
Amen.
And I'm not going to listen to anybody else.
Hallelujah.
Well, I do listen to other people, really. Okay, so here's a church. Amen. And she has inside of her a different kind of church. See, I said woman equals church. Well, here's a man church. Okay? And it's going to be a different kind of church. Now, a man church, we haven't ever seen a man church before. We have seen the picture of Jesus Christ when he walked on earth, but he was only one man, wasn't he?
Yes.
And he was the beginning of the man-child church.
Amen. Amen.
He was the perfect picture. And when he walked on earth, he was in the Holy of Holies.
Hallelujah.
Do you know what I mean? When I said he always was in the Holy of Holies in the Spirit.
Amen, amen.
He was in a place where he said, I don't ever speak a word unless I hear the Father say it. I don't do anything unless I see the Father doing it. Now, he was in a place where his Spirit, see, he was always hearing from God. Have you ever been in a place like that where you're hearing from God? Probably not. You know, I have had some visits into this place. And I'll tell you, were you here this morning? Oh, so you don't mind my saying it again? I almost died. This was about 13 years ago. And yes, in fact, it was about 13 years ago, a little more than 13 years ago. And I'm laying in the hospital. I'm laying on in the emergency room, and they thought I was dead. But in the course of the next few days, in a few days after I had my heart surgery, they opened me up, worked on my heart, and they brought me back to life. And while I was in this place, I was sometimes in the Holy of Holies, and I was sometimes in the holy place. And I don't know how I went back and forth from one to the other, but I saw things in heaven. No, not where there's streets of gold and angels flying around. That isn't what I mean. I was in a spiritual place. I saw Jesus. I was laying in the hospital bed. I'm laying, and he stood right here where I am. I mean, how can that be? He was standing right in me. I'm laying down, and he's standing up. And I saw him. I saw his face. He said some things to me. I saw his hands. I asked him where he got the pain. And he held his hands out, and he said, he was basically saying, this is not because I'm crucified that you're seeing. I'm in pain because of what's happening in the body of Christ. When you people hurt one another and say bad things about one another, you are hurting me. And he was quite angry about it. I was not happy about the way I saw his face. It was quite a rebuke. I saw prayers. I saw the prayers. I didn't see people praying. I saw their prayers. Their prayers were coming through the air, floating like smoke or something. And the prayers came by me, and I could hear what people were praying. I could hear it. And the prayers were always going to the throne of God. So I must have been standing somewhere near the throne of God. I didn't see any throne. All I saw was prayers. I saw them, and then I heard the prayers. And I heard a woman pray for me. I heard her say, Dear Lord, we lift Brother Mark. We ask that you would heal him and deliver him of this trouble. And I heard her husband in the background saying, Yes, amen, Lord. Yes, Lord. I heard those things, and I know that those are people who are praying for me. I'm telling you, this is the place. This is what's inside of this woman church. This is what she's waiting to bring out. and give birth to it. This is why she's in travail, because she wants to have this experience. Okay? Now the devil knows that when a whole church comes forth on this earth that is going to be like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you know that the day can come when we can be like Jesus Christ?
Amen.
And you know, we can start now by being like Him.
Like Jesus.
But there's coming, when that birth takes place, a whole lot of people are going to be like Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Okay?
Amen.
See, some churches say, well, everybody's going to get carried away off in the sky. No, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for walking on this earth during a time of great tribulation when we have the power that Jesus Christ had. Amen. And we're going to hear from the Father. We're going to hear by the Spirit. We're not going to say anything unless we hear the Spirit say it. We're going to do what the Spirit says. You know, today we see so many people with so many needs. And you know, I think if I had the power, every time I saw somebody crippled or blind or something, I'd say, oh, be healed in the name of Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't do that. He healed a lot of people. But there were times that He didn't heal, and He just walked by. Remember when the man was at the pool? And everybody around that pool wanted to be healed. But you remember, He only healed one man. So it was only, the Father said, heal that one man. Now, if the other people had asked, maybe God would have done something. All right, so here's the devil. The devil knows that when this church brings forth this man-child, that man-child is going to have the ability to destroy the devil.
Amen.
Don't you want to see that devil destroyed? I want to.
I want to see.
Yes, I want to too. I like your amens, by the way. You can say amen. Okay. Now, so we brought this, we described this red dragon, okay? And this this devil has a world system. When it talks about his horns, his heads are nations. Different nations are going to come together. There's going to be a one world government, okay? There's going to be 10 powerful men that are going to be ruling this thing. But there's also going to be a one world religion.
You mean one world church?
One world church.
Yes.
One world church. Listen. And you know what? The Roman church, the man who is in charge of it, is very, very busy trying to put together this one world religion. And they're even going to the Muslims to try to bring them in. You know that church now recognizes the Hindus, the voodoo people. Oh yes, they say they're brothers with us. Yeah, he recognizes these other people, the prince of Iran, whoever that ruled. That's all Muslim. That man went and had a visit with the Pope. Now what do they have to talk about? And they said, what was it about? Oh, it was about reconciliation. What have you got to reconcile with Muslim? Did you know that the Catholic Church was actually the one that started Muslim? What was the woman's name that became Muhammad's wife? Oh, come on. What was her name? Anyway, it was started by the Catholic Church, and you know what? It backfired on them. And they got away, and they didn't obey the Catholic religion anymore. I forget that woman's name.
Originally,
Fatima. Wasn't it Fatima?
Yeah, Fatima.
Was she Muslim's wife, or Muhammad's wife? I think that was it. I think her name was Fatima. Yeah. Okay, let's get off of that. Now, we come to the place where the man child is ready to be delivered. And in verse 5, it says, And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now, it says that she was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, or this man-child. Now, is this Jesus Christ, or is this a people? Which one is it?
It's people.
But it's also Jesus Christ.
Also, yes.
In other words, it's both.
It's both.
Let me show you two other verses so that you know it's a people and you know it's Jesus Christ. So that means the man-child is a body of Christ, with the head, Jesus Christ.
Complete
body. Put together and functioning as a true body of Christ. See, we say we're the body of Christ. We say Christ is our head. But lots of times we don't know where Christ is. Mm-hmm. You know, the church doesn't know where Christ is. We say we worship in the name of Christ. Sometimes we worship in the flesh and we don't know the difference. So we had a good time. We sang some good songs. But maybe Jesus wasn't even there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But that things are going to change.
Amen.
We're going to worship in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And that's what he told the woman at the well. It isn't just this mountain or that temple or whatever. We're going to worship in spirit and in truth. It's not a place.
Amen.
It's in spirit. So, okay, it says that a man caught up to God. Let me show you two other verses. Let me go back to Revelation chapter 2, verse 27. And this is one of the churches. This is one of the churches. 2:27. This is the church of Thyatira. And he says in verse 26, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." So he's saying to a church, if you overcome, you can rule over the nations.
Hallelujah.
Now, let's define this rod of iron, okay? It doesn't mean... No. The word should have said that he will shepherd the nations with a shepherd's rod of iron. In other words, if you're an unruly sheep, you can't break that rod of iron. The shepherd, no, you're going to have to behave. Now, let's take the other verse, and that says in Revelation 19, verse 15. And it says here, and we're talking about Jesus Christ riding on a white horse. Verse 12, his eyes were a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had written a name that no man knew but himself. It says he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Whose blood was that? It was his blood. His blood. Amen. And his name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him. I wonder if we could be part of those armies of heaven.
Oh, we're clean.
Armies of heaven followed him upon white horses. What?
19.
Oh, 19. Yeah, 19 verse 14 now. 19 verse 14. So the armies of heaven. Armies, plural. Armies. More than one army.
Amen.
So that might be the sons of God army and the angels of heaven army.
Yes. Amen.
At least two armies on white horses. Now, you know, you don't need to practice riding a horse. This is spiritual talk. The horse it means a war. A horse is an animal for war. Okay, at least in the Bible, the horse was used for war. And if they're white horses, It means it's just, it's purity, it's holiness.
Jesus.
They're going out to win the world in holiness.
Hallelujah.
All right. And it says, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. All right. Now, what is this sword coming out of his mouth?
The word of God.
It's the word of God.
Yeah.
How many of you know how powerful the word of God is?
Amen.
You know, if God gives us that kind of power, and we have the power of the word of God, and the enemies come against us, we have the power to say, nay, thus saith the Lord, you shall not do this. The Lord rebuke you. And that word would have such power, it would stop the wicked.
Hallelujah.
Now, okay, let me read on and finish it. It says, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress in the fierceness, treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So there's coming a time of judgment, okay? And God is saying that he alone is not going to execute judgment, but he's going to have his armies, which include people, that are going to go with him, and they're going to speak the word of God in authority. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you have all the authority that you need in Christ?
Amen.
I don't have enough. I need more. Yes.
We have not yet the power. We have not.
We do not yet have the full power. But it is available. It's just that we don't know how to use it yet. And maybe we can't be trusted with it yet either.
Yes.
Okay. So it says that she brought forth her son, her child, and he was caught up to God, to his throne. Now, some people say, oh, well, this is a picture of Mary, and Mary is bringing forth Jesus, and Jesus goes to the throne of God. What's wrong with that?
It's not because it's the future.
Well, it's a nice picture, but in the beginning of Revelation, and before this, in verse 4, the angel said, come and I will show you things that must happen shortly. So Mary bringing forth Jesus had already happened.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's a future.
Israel, you can say the woman was Israel. Israel bringing forth the Savior, that had already happened.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something new that hadn't happened, even though it's the same type.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something else that's coming forth. This is another church that's going to bring forth another ministry, a stronger ministry than we've ever seen on the earth.
Amen. Amen.
A ministry like Elijah.
Amen.
You know about where Malachi said that Elijah must come? Do you think that an old man is going to come with a hairy old man with a big long robe and long white whiskers? No. It's going to be the spirit of Elijah that's going to come in a people. Because Jesus said that John the Baptist was Elijah. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
When the disciples said, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, well, Elijah will come, but he said he already has come.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, the disciples understood he was talking about John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say to me, Brother Mark, why are you always spiritualizing everything? Why do you make everything spiritual? Because Jesus did. He spiritualized John the Baptist, or Elijah. He said, you're not going to see that old man from 2,000 years ago come back. John the Baptist was Elijah, and Elijah is still going to come. And there's going to be a restoration of all things. He's going to restore all things. So this ministry that you're going to be a part of is going to be a restoration ministry. And we're going to be caught up to the throne of God. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to get raptured. Throne means authority. See, sister's sitting on a throne there. See that throne?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, kings sit on thrones. They have a crown. They have a scepter. What does that mean? It means they have authority. If the king says, go, the king says, no. I mean, that's authority. So it says that this man-child is caught up to the throne of God. He's given authority, which means that Satan can't touch him.
Amen. Amen.
Let's see what happens next now, okay? It says, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. How long is that?
3.5 years.
3.5 years. Boy, you've been doing your math pretty fast here, haven't you? 3.5 years. 3.5 is the time of tribulation.
42 days.
42 months.
42 months. Yeah.
So in Revelation it says it three different ways. It says 1,260 days.
Yes.
Okay. It says in another place 42 months. It says another place a time. And times. And half a time, which is 3.5.
Yeah, yeah.
Another place, it comes right out and says 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And one time Jesus said that during the days of Elijah, there was famine for how long? 3 years and 6 months.
6 months, yes.
Which is 3.5 years.
Yes, about. Yes.
It was 3.5 years of famine.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you go back and study it, Elijah never appeared until the famine started. In fact, it was his word that started it. He told King Ahab, he said, Ahab, there's not going to be any rain on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he didn't say for 3.5 years, but he said until I say so. But it turned out to be 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, there's so much good about Elijah, how he went to the widow's house. You say, well, God, how are we going to be taken care of during this terrible time of tribulation? I mean, what if I don't have enough food? What if I can't grow my food, you know? What if we run out of flour and we run out of rice? Hey, you know what? Get into the widow's house. Get into the widow's house, and just the widow is going to be blessed. See, here's a picture of this woman goes into the wilderness. Now, this woman, you see, not all of this woman becomes man-child. Some of this woman becomes man-child. She gives birth. But some of the woman doesn't go that far. She's still a good woman. She's still clothed with the sun. But she's not quite, she's still like a widow. Okay, so you still got three churches. You got a moon church, you got a widow church now who has gone to the wilderness to hide.
Oh, it's just the widow church.
And somebody is feeding this widow church, this woman in the wilderness. The man child is feeding her. How is he feeding her? Well, I don't know. I think if you just live together, God is going to take care of her. So the woman is still going to be obedient to the word. She maybe didn't quite have enough faith, but she's still going to be obedient to the word, and God is going to take care of her. Now, let's look here a little bit. It says, and there was war in heaven. Now remember, this is not the throne of God, heaven. This is not the third heaven, okay? This is not the highest heaven. That devil got thrown out of that heaven a long time ago. Jesus said, I saw Satan like a bolt of lightning go out of heaven. All God had to say was, ow! And like a bolt of lightning, he went down to the earth. Okay, so there's war in heaven, and Michael and his angels were fighting against the dragon, and the dragon fought his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place any more found in heaven. So, heaven includes your soul, Okay? And there's going to be a victory in the people of God. We're going to win that victory.
Amen.
Michael and the angels are going to fight with us. You're not going to see this battle take place, by the way. You get your camera out. You're not going to see devils fighting against angels. You're not going to see anything happen in your soul. But God is going to give a victory for the overcomer.
Amen.
All right? You're going to win.
Amen.
And it says the devil is thrown out of that level of heaven now too. So he's been thrown out of the highest heaven. He's now thrown out of this heaven. He's still a spirit being, but it says he's going to be thrown to where? Earth.
To the earth.
Now, earth isn't just... Earth is kind of the lowest heaven level that you've got. It's carnal. Do you know what carnal is? Give him a good Cebuano word for carnal.
Kalibutanon. Kalibutan.
Is that carnal?
Carnal, kalibutan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It means you like natural things.
Natural, yes.
Your thinking is natural.
Kalibutan.
Yeah. Yeah, you think like a little child.
Mm-hmm.
How does a little child think? What's this child do when he's hungry? And what happens if he doesn't eat? Now! You can't teach. You have a hard time teaching him to be patient, don't you? Just be patient. Mommy's busy. No, they're not interested in being patient. That's carnality. See, that's childishness. Carnal. Can't wait. I want to be satisfied now. So the devil is thrown down into the earthy place.
Fleshy thinking place.
And you know, a lot of Christians are very carnal Christians.
Yes, that's right.
Very fleshy Christians.
Yes.
They like to do things that the world does. They like to look like the world.
Mm-hmm.
They like the fun of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're carnal. Okay, yes, they're born again. God forgave them of their sins. But they don't want to go any farther.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bother me. I like having a good time. I like to drink every now and then. I smoke sometimes. I mean, whatever. Whatever. I misbehave. I just do things that, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. Okay, the Lord forgives you. But you're going to do it again. It's carnal. And the devil is thrown down into the carnal place. Now, that means if you're going to stay in the carnal place, you're going to get trampled. You're going to get trampled. The outer court church is going to be trampled underfoot for 3.5 years. The outer court church. You don't want to be in that church. Trampled underfoot means they're going to be killed. They're going to lose their life. God is not obliged to protect the outer court Christian. He'll protect you now. But there's coming a time when he says, you either come in or I can't protect you anymore. You need the verse on that? Go right back to chapter 11. I'll just read you the verse. It says that John is told, there was given me a reed like a rod, that's a meter stick. And the angel said, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship him. That's the first verse, chapter 11, verse 1. So measure the temple. That means the tabernacle. Measure the tabernacle and the golden altar. Where's the golden altar? It's not in the outer court. The golden altar is in the holy place. Okay. And if you read in the book of Hebrews, you find that the golden altar got moved into the Holy of Holies.
Holy, yes, yes.
Because the priest always took the golden altar into the Holy of Holies. Mm-hmm. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, that golden altar went into the most holy place. Mm-hmm. So measure the altar and them that worship. So that's the holy place church that we're talking about.
Amen.
Measure the holy place church. See, that means that God is measuring you now. Measuring you means you're being examined by God. You're being tested. I mean, God knows how big you are. But you don't know how big you are. So that's why he's laying the measuring rod on you. Oh, Lord, I don't measure up yet. And he's showing me things that I need to do to measure up. All right. Then he says, but the court that is outside the temple, leave it out and measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles, that means the nations, the world, that is going to be given over to the world and that holy city, and they shall tread it underfoot for 42 months. 42 months. Do you know what it means when the world is going to trample on something? Go study what Hitler did in World War II. He trampled the world. Ran his tanks, killed people. Millions. It's not a nice sight. But it's there in the Bible. It's prophetic word. But then he said, I will give power, that's authority, to my two witnesses. See, the two witnesses is the same as the man child.
The sons of God.
The sons of God. The 144,000.
Virgins, wise virgins.
Yes, the wise virgins. And they will prophesy 1,203 days. Same number, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Clothed in sackcloth. That means you're not having fun. Right? You're clothed in sackcloth, you're not having fun. Now it says where the woman went into the wilderness, it means the same thing. She's not having fun.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a nice camping trip. This is not staying in a nice hotel out in the wilderness. No. This is living rough.
Living rough.
You're not having fun. But she's got power. All right, so there's war in heaven, and the devil loses. Amen. And the devil, it says, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So that means that all these unclean spirits that are working with the devil, down, down, down to earth, down to carnal realm, down to carnal church. And I don't want to be there. I want to be above it. So I'm going to have to let God change me. When I'm hearing the word of God, I'm going to have to say, Lord, I need some help here. I need you to help me in that. I don't love people as much as I should, Lord. Help me. Help me love those people. How many do you find people that are hard to love? Often? Did I hear somebody say often? Yes. Yes, there's lots of people that are hard to love. And I have to say, Jesus, how did you deal with these kind of people? You know, Jesus had people that were hard to love. Do you think Judas was a nice guy? Well, why did he pick him? He knew he was going to be a bad guy. But you know what? Jesus loved him.
Amen.
He gave him every chance. And I need to do that with people too. I need to give them every chance. Lord, this woman, Lord, She's difficult. She just doesn't get it, Lord. Why doesn't she behave? That man, he's wicked. Look at how he treats his wife. I'd like to just go over and... No, Lord. That's not the way Jesus sees him. You see what I mean? So, no, we're not going to live in that carnal realm of thinking. Because we're going to let Jesus change us.
Amen.
You want to be changed, don't you?
Amen.
Yes, I do too. All right, so it says, now is come, amen, salvation and strength in the kingdom of God. Now is come salvation. How many of you are saved?
Amen.
Right? Yes, you're, of course you're saved.
Amen.
But you know what? You're not finished being saved. It says, now is come salvation. We're talking about people that are saved. Now is come salvation.
Amen.
So you're going to get another salvation. You know, you're not really saved until all your enemies are under your feet. Then you're really saved. Well, I know. My soul is saved because the sin has been washed away from me. But I've still got enemies running around, Lord, and I want to really be saved from all my enemies, too. Amen? So, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of Christ. See, in other words, now is also come authority.
Amen.
That's what that means. Now you have the authority that you need. Amen. And the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, who accused them before the throne day and night. Now, you may not know it, but the devil, you can shut that. Yeah. The devil has been accusing you before the throne of God day and night. So I don't know anything about it. That throne of God is far away from me. Is it really? I thought you had the throne of God in your heart. So that means the devil is coming against your conscience and he's saying to you, oh, I remember what you used to be. Oh yeah, I remember what you did 5 years ago. Oh, I remember. Oh, God is going to get you for that. And I'm going to get you too, because I can draw you right back into that same sin anytime I want. He's accusing you. He's saying you're never going to make it. You're never going to be an overcomer. Now, it says here that the accuser was cast down. So you're going to overcome the accusation. What do you do when the devil comes and whispers that stuff to you and tells you you're not going to make it, you're a sinner, you're wicked, you're no good, you're never going to amount to anything? What do you do with that? You rebuke it, and you say, no, Satan, that's not true. I am covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am forgiven. Whatever my past was, Jesus doesn't see it anymore. And you are lying. You are a liar. And I can go on and tell him that your place is going to be in the lake of fire. Amen. But the Lord rebuke you, Satan. What does it say? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So I'm going to resist the devil. I'm going to win. And it says, here comes a time now when the accuser is absolutely finished. He's thrown down. Okay? He's thrown right down. And they overcame him how? How are you going to overcome? They overcame by the what? Blood of the Lamb. I'm reading it in Revelation. And the word of their testimony. And what else? And they love not their lives unto the death. So let's take this. How do you overcome by the blood of the Lamb? Because you say, the blood has washed me. You can't call me a wicked sinner anymore. Oh, you had a bad thought. I am washed in the blood. I don't go that way anymore, Satan. I don't think those kind of things. Well, I know you do because I give you those thoughts. Yeah, but I don't keep them. You can give me all the wicked thoughts you want, Satan, but I'm not going to submit to you. Amen?
Amen.
I know who you are. So they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, the word of their testimony means you're going to have to open up your mouth and say something. So I don't know. I'm the quiet type. I don't talk. You know what? The devil cannot read your mind. Did you know that? Only God can read your mind. So, you say, well, I'm going to think thoughts against the devil. You know what? He needs to hear your mouth say it. He can't read your mind. So I just say, the Lord rebuke you, Satan, and I'm saying it out loud. And you might think I'm crazy because I can't see a devil in this room, but I know you're here somewhere. You've always got your agents around listening to me. You've always got them trying to torment me. The Lord rebuke you, Satan! And I will be loosed of this thing. I will be loosed of that flesh thing. Amen?
Amen.
And I overcome you by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, I love to speak the blood against the devil. He hates the blood. He hates the mention of the blood. Oh, my goodness. The brightness of the blood. I mean, when the devil sees that blood, it just blinds him. He doesn't like it. He'll go away. Oh, no. Remember when they put the blood on the doors in Egypt? And when the destroyer came and he saw the blood, he could not enter the house. And that was just the blood of a lamb. It wasn't even Jesus. But because it was the word of God, when that destroyer came, he could not enter the house and bring death in that house. So I know about the blood. I know the power of the blood. And when I tell the devil I am under the blood, and I start talking about the goodness of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, the blood of Jesus on Calvary. Oh, how he destroyed sin. Oh, Satan, how he blinded you and destroyed you. He's gone. He doesn't want to hear that. You know, you start praising God. Tell the devil how good the Lord is. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Merciful Father. Hallelujah. You start singing.
Amen.
Devil's gone. Devil's gone. You got songs you like to sing? See, that's the word of the Lord. So you overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, which could include the songs of your testimony. If you like those songs, sing them. And what else? Oh, there's a third one. What was that third one again? They love not their lives unto death. Oh, why do we have to add that one? Oh, I don't like that one. Can I just overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony? No. I'm going to lay my life down. And when my life is laid down, Satan can't touch it. I'll give you one thing. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. There's nothing he can get a hold of. Are they all done out there?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to finish up. There is no hold that Satan has. Let me show you this. On these shoes, did you hear that? This is what we're talking about. When I do this to this, it doesn't catch, does it?
Mm-hmm.
See? It has no ground. It has no hold. But when I do it to this, look at here. This is what Jesus meant. I don't have any of this stuff that the devil could get a hold of. It's just smooth like this. See? And I'm not going to give him any part of me that he can latch on to. And if I've got sin in me, he can get a hold of me. He can tempt me in that part. And he can make me fall. So we're going to be like Jesus. God bless you. Thank you so much. And I enjoyed this very much.
Yes, praise the Lord. Yes.